Just an informative lesson. Even after yesterday, I think about those two funerals. It makes you want to think about your own, everyone, just every once in a while. What's that? It's just interesting when I attend a funeral or a wedding, just see how somebody else does theirs, you know. So it was kind of interesting yesterday. I think all I want, when you guys do my funeral, don't expect soon. I don't anticipate it any time soon, but you know, I just want you to sing and eat. Because I know if I give you guys a chance, you'll just get even with me. It won't be nice. Or just, you know, you'll get have your chance to do that. All right, so we're going to talk about the Herods in the Gospels and the book of Acts. First one's Herod the Great. Born in 7 B.C. and died in 4 B.C. He's the son of Antipater. And Antipater was a man that supported the invasion of Palestine by Julius Caesar and Pompey in 63 B.C. Julius Caesar favored the family, and he appointed Antipater a procurator of Judea in 47 B.C. Julius Caesar, because of his friendship with the family of Antipater, also gave him Roman citizenship, and that was an honor that descended also to Herod, meaning his son, and the future children. Antipater, since he had this favor with Julius Caesar, appointed his son Herod governor of Galilee that same year. And then 6 years later, Mark Antony made Herod tetrarch of Galilee. And that's the same, by the way, the Mark Antony that was involved with the famous Cleopatra of Egypt. And that was about 31 B.C. Cleopatra, back then, you would kind of join ranks if you wanted to increase your power or your land. And so that Mark Antony with the Roman Empire, Cleopatra with Egypt, he said, I think I know a way to move Egypt's border to the north. So they got together. Didn't marry. And then in 37 B.C., the Roman Senate made Herod king of Judea, because Herod fought successfully against the Parthians when they tried to invade Palestine. And Herod earned the title of the Great. He wasn't originated with that name. But that the Great was added to Herod because of his restoration of Palestine and building the buildings, ruling with an iron fist. Of course, his greatest achievement was in rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. In 22 B.C., it was started. And you remember, there are really about five temples in the Bible. We don't think of it as a temple. We call it a tabernacle, which it was started out as. A tabernacle is a movable tent. And when you read about the tabernacle in the Old Testament, it went from location to different locations. The second temple in the Bible, if I can call the tabernacle a temple. No, I can't, but it's because it's a movable tent. Temple is a fixed structure. So Dennis is going to get me on the exact definition of this. But when the tabernacle was located in Jerusalem, then David made the plans for the permanent temple, and then Solomon built it in Jerusalem because David was a man of war. And so there was a period of peace while Solomon built that temple in Jerusalem. When Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonians, invaded Jerusalem for about a 20-year period from 606 to 586 B.C. The last campaign was in 586 B.C., and they literally destroyed it. Jerusalem leveled the temple, took the captives back to Babylon, along with the best of the young men and people. And that was Daniel and the three Hebrew children along with them. When Cyrus, in Esther chapter 1, issued a decree that the Jews who were taken captive could go back to Jerusalem. That decree is actually stated in Ezra chapter 1. It's written out. And so then under Zerubbabel, along with Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, Nehemiah, and several others, they all were involved in different areas of restoration of Jerusalem. But then Zerubbabel led the charge of rebuilding the temple. And Ezra was kind of like the preacher for that. So you have the tabernacle, and then Solomon's temple, and we call that Zerubbabel's temple. Then when the Roman Empire came marching in, they did so because there was a Maccabean revolt against Antiochus. And Antiochus came in, and Antiochus the First, and desecrated the temple, offered pigs on the altar, just did all kinds of things, whatever was the opposite of temple worship, and tore down some of the things. And so when Herod became king, he wanted to gain favor with the Jews that were there in Jerusalem and Palestine, so he enlisted their aid to rebuild that temple in Jerusalem. So it's called Herod's Temple. It was started in the year 22 B.C., and it wasn't finished till about the year 64 A.D. It was still being under construction when, during the time of Jesus and the church, the missionary journeys. And then the temple was destroyed, a three-year siege under Titus, Vespasian, another Roman, Trajan. There were about three different Roman rulers during that three-year period, and finally destroyed in 70 A.D. So just kind of give you a little bit of history about that. And then, just kind of a note, by the way, there was, after that destruction of the temple in 70 A.D., there was an Arab conquest of Palestine in A.D. 637. And the Arabs, the Muslims, built what is called the Dome of the Rock on the area where the temple was located. And that's it was a Muslim shrine that was to honor the spot where they thought Muhammad ascended back to heaven. And of course, when Herod built his temple, he built it much larger than the original Solomon's temple, and we added stories onto the outside area. Late level, he built retaining walls to hold up that structure. And so when you see the Jews today with the word wailing wall, remember Jesus prophesied that when Rome would come in AD 70, there wouldn't be one stone left upon another. And that's the way it was. And many people, when they viewed the temple area, they were amazed that there was ever a temple on that spot. But there was one section retaining wall that remained, but not the temple itself. And so that's where the Jews go today to wail over the loss and the destruction of the temple. Just an aside. Oh, Herod, that's right. I'm talking about Herod. Let me see. Herod had, you think about 10 wives. I just put the five of them in your notes. But there was, he had five plus wives. There was Doris, I think it's pronounced Mary Ann, even though it's Mary Amney. The first, the second, Malthrace, and Cleopatra of Jerusalem. So that distinguishes the Cleopatra of Egypt. And this is the Herod, and I put your notes, that ruled when Jesus was born. Matthew 2, verse 1. I need to hurry along here now. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, that's Herod the great, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, and you're familiar with the story. In Matthew 2, verse 13, because Herod felt threatened about his kingship, he decided to kill all the baby boys, 2 years old and younger. And so in a dream, Joseph was told in Matthew 2, verse 13, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So that's the first Herod of the Bible, Herod the Great. In Matthew 2, verse 16, it says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry." Remember, he wanted the wise men when they came to come see him. And when you find the baby Jesus, come tell me. So he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. And then Matthew 2, verse 19 says, "And when Herod was dead..." So that's Herod number one, Herod the Great. Second time we find Herod, those are all related to. Herod mentioned in the Bible is Herod Archelaus. This is the oldest son of Herod the Great with his wife Marianne the First. It's in Matthew 2, beginning of verse 19. It says, "Now when Herod was dead, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt." Remember, they fled. "Saying, arise, take the child and his mother, go to the land of Israel." In other words, come back home. "For those who sought the young child's life are dead." So then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea, instead of his father Herod... So here's your second Herod, Herod Archelaus. "He was afraid to go there, and being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth." And that's why Jesus is many times called the Nazarene. The Nazarene. And the prophecy that says, "Out of Egypt I will call my son." So that's when they fled and came back. The next Herod, and that's all we know about this one, and what's said in Matthew 2, verses 19 through 23. Next Herod, Herod Philip, and there are two Herod Philips, and obviously it has to be a first and a second. But there is one Philip's name is found in Luke 3, verse 1. It says, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being the governor of Judea, Herod being the tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene." So this Herod is the son of Herod the Great and Cleopatra of Jerusalem. And it's interesting because sometimes we get the Herods mixed up because several of them could reign at the same time. That's why they're called a tetrarch, so I put that in your notes. It's a ruler of one-fourth of a province or a government by four persons. So you could have a Herod and his brother ruling one place and another Herod over here at the very same time. So many times, and when you look at maps of the Roman Empire, especially Palestine, and you'll see different rulers in different areas, especially if it's a color-coded map, you'll see those sections, how they divided the territory up. And Luke 3, verse 1 mentions... at least, you know, three or four of those folks, and one of them is Herod. There is another Herod Philip mentioned in history, and so there's two. I just put Herod Philip for this one because that's the one in Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Then you have Herod Antipas. This is the Herod that's mentioned in Luke 3, verse 1. Herod's brother. So Herod Philip Antipas. So he's the in his story, and I put it, it's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and this is the story of John the Baptist, which you're familiar with. I'm not going to read that story. You know it well. But in Matthew 14, verse 3, it says, "Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife." And you have Herod and Philip mentioned in Luke 3, verse 1. "Because John had said to him, it's not lawful for you to have her." So this Herod took his brother's wife, and then John the Baptist comes along and says, "You're not supposed to be with this lady." And so then you're familiar with the story. Herodias' daughter danced, and Herod said, "I'll give you what you want." Said, "I want John." And mother said, "Ask for John the Baptist's head." And that's what happened in the story. I just put an added note, kind of an "oh, by the way," because this Herod is also mentioned in Luke chapter 13 and in Luke 23, and it's along with the name of Pilate. Both Herod and Pilate's name, it says Herod and Pilate, both together. Those two names, Herod and Pilate, this same Herod, are mentioned also when Peter and John are arrested in Jerusalem for preaching. And when they pray to God, John and Peter mention this phrase about Herod and Pilate as a historical event. The next one I have is Herod Agrippa. And just read history. You're familiar with it, but sometimes I just like to read it, hear it firsthand. This first Herod Agrippa is found in Acts chapter 12. It says, "Now about this time, Herod the king." So again, we don't know the rest of the Herods. They're just called Herod. but then when you get your history book out, then you find, now we can separate them by their names. But it says, "This time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. It was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him," Peter, "says he put him in prison, delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church." And the story continues in verse 19, or verse 18, I'll pick it up there. Says, "But when Herod had searched for him," because between these verses, Peter escapes from prison and goes to John Mark's, mother John Mark's house. So it says, "When Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death." Wow. So if you were a guard back then, you want to be sure you did your duty right. So Peter escaped, so the guards were killed. So he said, Herod, then he went down from Judea to Caesarea, stayed there. Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon. They came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace, because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne, and gave an oration to them. The people kept shouting, 'The voice of a god and not of a man.' Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him, because he did not give glory to God. He was eaten by worms and died. But the word of the Lord," or the word of God, "grew and multiplied." So this man Herod, we just know this about him. He arrives on the scene, and then he's gone. The last Herod we have, or the last two, are Herod Agrippa. The second, the next Herod, the last one I have in your notes, in Acts 26. This is a story of when Paul has been appealing to Caesar. He's on his journey, and so now before they leave Caesarea, they gather the governors and the kings together to hear Paul's story of his conversion and why he was arrested. So it says, "Therefore, King Agrippa," this is Herod Agrippa II, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem, throughout all the region of Judea, then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple, tried to kill me. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. Paul said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. For I'm convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, well, now he addresses him directly. Do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. Paul said, I would to God not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. When he had said these things, the king stood up, as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone aside, they talked among themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing deserving of death or chains. Then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So that's the last of the Herods in the Bible, is Herod Agrippa II. Lesson is not meant to move you to a particular course of action, except just to give you some information. But kind of entry, hope it will clarify some of your Bible study and things like that. As you know, there's different Herods in the Bible. They're not all the same Herod. It just says the word Herod and put it in the context. Always when we assemble together, we sing a song of encouragement, song of admonition, song of exhortation. There is one here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church. You've not been baptized for remission of sins. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, we can accomplish that. So let's stand together and sing the song that Dennis has selected.